This is not about personalities. This is not personal. This is about someone who's testing nuclear weapons, a hydrogen bomb.
North Korean tensions remain high. It's Monday, September 25th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. Defense Secretary heads to South Asia. Appeals for Rohingya aid grow louder. What do Americans think of President Trump? The future of U.S. work and communications during a crisis. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Tension between the United States and North Korea remained high Sunday as inflammatory rhetoric from both nations continues to be exchanged following harsh speeches last week in New York at the United Nations General Assembly. Neighboring countries said a small earthquake that hit North Korea Saturday near the country's nuclear test site was likely a natural tremor and not a nuclear explosion. The U.S. Geological Survey, however, said it could not confirm whether the seismic activity was man-made or natural. Following the tremor, U.S. B-1B bombers escorted by Air Force fighter jets flew in international airspace off the coast of North Korea in a clear demonstration of force. The Carl Vinson aircraft carrier led one of two carrier strike groups that conducted joint exercises with South Korea and Japan earlier this year. Pyongyang responded with the release of propaganda videos showing U.S. planes and an aircraft carrier under simulated attack. U.S. officials were more restrained with their words Sunday. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, speaking on ABC's This Week, repeated the insistence that all options, including military force, remain on the table.
This week, the president signed an executive order that allowed me to issue the most strong sanctions that have ever been done. I can cut off financial institutions anywhere in the world that support North Korea. And the military is one form, economics is another form, and the president will pursue all the options. I think it's unbelievable that the government in North Korea said this week that they may test a hydrogen bomb above the Pacific Ocean. That's something that everyone in the world should be completely put off on and unify against.
Mnuchin said while the United States has many options in dealing with North Korea's nuclear and missile programs, he downplayed the likelihood of nuclear war. Mnuchin stressed U.S. actions are in response to North Korean provocations and not about a personal spat between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump.
This is not about personalities. This is not personal. This is about someone who's testing nuclear weapons, a hydrogen bomb that was dramatically bigger than any bomb that's been used. This is about sending ballistic missiles across Japan's airspace. These things are not going to be continued to be allowed.
Still, some leading Republicans voiced hope President Trump will tone down his comments, including Kentucky Senator Rand Paul speaking on NBC's Meet the Press.
Yeah, I think there is a problem. And if I were going to be sending messages to North Korea, I would say this. We don't plan on invading. We don't plan on regime change. We don't plan on occupying North Korea. And we don't plan on being the one to have an offensive military strike for any reason other than the defense of South Korea ourselves. I would also say there is no good military option for us, but also for them, and they need to realize that in no uncertain terms, that there is no option for them to use military weapons because the results would be catastrophic for them, but also the results would be catastrophic for everybody on the Korean Peninsula. So I hope we can ratchet down the rhetoric.
During a four-day visit to the United Nations General Assembly last week, Trump said the United States would totally destroy North Korea if forced to defend itself or its allies. In response, North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho said leader Kim Jong-un is considering testing a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific Ocean. These are among some of the top Asia stories that are trending on VOAnews.com. Trump issues more threats against North Korea. North Korean crowd rallies against the United States and Trump. New Zealand politicians in no hurry to form coalition. The UNHCR says Bangladesh needs massive international assistance for Rohingya. Thousands evacuated from area surrounding volcano in Bali. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also, when you have a chance, stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is set to travel to South Asia for the first time since Donald Trump announced his new strategy for the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. The plan calls for thousands more U.S. troops, as well as an expanded role for India, where Mattis will hold high-level meetings. VOA's Bill Gallo is traveling with the Pentagon chief, and he tells us what we might expect from the defense secretary's trip.
The White House is revisiting its Afghanistan policy at a time of shifting geopolitics in the region. China, with its growing military and economic power, is expanding its influence across South Asia. But Donald Trump sees a bigger role for India, the other regional power player.
We want them to help us more with Afghanistan, especially in the area of economic assistance and development.
It's a risky proposal, one that India's longtime rival, Pakistan, views as a threat.
We don't foresee any political or military role for India in Afghanistan. I think it'll just complicate the situation and it'll not resolve anything.
But India is cautiously moving forward, agreeing earlier this month to provide more assistance to the Afghan Defense Forces. The country has already provided more than $2 billion in economic aid to Afghanistan. Afghan officials say they want friendly relations with both countries and insist most of India's investment has been on the soft side.
Health sector, education, infrastructure, and democratic institutions. No country or no one should object on that.
But many in Pakistan do object, and the longtime Indian rival could feel pressured to increase its alleged support for Afghanistan-based militant groups as a counterweight, says Shamila Chaudhry, who worked on South Asia policy under Barack Obama.
So in this way, the policy that the Trump administration has designed actually contradicts itself. On one hand, we're going to put more pressure on the Pakistanis. We also want them to do more for the United States. And we want them to end relationships with these militant groups. And then on the other hand, we want the Indians to do more in Afghanistan, which will trigger the Pakistanis.
For Mattis, the tricky regional balancing act is made only more complicated by China. China and India recently agreed to de-escalate tensions in their long-running border dispute. Beijing has also frowned at Washington's quickly growing defense ties with New Delhi, which are expected to further expand during Mattis's trip. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, thousands of residents have been evacuating from areas surrounding a rumbling volcano on the resort island of Bali. Indonesian officials say an eruption could be imminent. Increasing seismic activity suggests the volcano could erupt for the first time in more than 50 years. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us today. Human Rights Watch has called for sanctions on Myanmar's military over its nearly month-long crackdown on Muslim Rohingyas in western Rakhine State, prompting a mass exodus to neighboring Bangladesh. Christopher Lam is with the International Organization for Migration.
There's now an estimated 409,000 people who've come across in the last 3 weeks. It's essential that we move ahead as quickly as we possibly can with the government's plan to allocate an area between Balukali and Kudapulang makeshift settlements, existing settlements. And I think all the agencies, all the international agencies, need to move very, very quickly to get these people out of a very vulnerable situation, because clearly the combination of this weather and dirty water and lack of food, lack of a safe place to shelter, is going to bring about a humanitarian disaster unless we act very, very quickly.
Aid groups like Save the Children are struggling to provide relief to a daily stream of arrivals, more than half of whom are children. Michel Anglade is Asia Director of Save the Children. He spoke with VOA's Victor Beatty about what is now one of the world's top humanitarian concerns.
Among them, a quarter of a million are children. So we have 250,000 children who need our help, and they need our help urgently. Most of the children, they have fled from Myanmar and worked for days. So they arrived at the border already very weak. They didn't have much access to food or clean water when they fled from Myanmar. Now they are in Bangladesh. We are in makeshift camps in a situation which is still very basic. Most of the shelters are tarpaulins and bamboo poles. They don't have much access to food. They don't have much access to clean water. So we are very concerned that in this kind of environment, there could be outbreak of disease, especially waterborne disease, which can be very dangerous for young children, especially if they are already weak.
Is Bangladesh, the government there, unable to provide for these refugees?
The government of Bangladesh is doing a lot to support the refugees, as well as the agencies on the ground. However, we have to consider the sheer scale of this crisis. 400,000 people arrive within 3 weeks, and therefore the effort to assist the refugees are being scaled up. Organizations working in close collaboration with the government of Bangladesh are setting up camps, distributing food. Ourselves, Save the Children, we have started distribution of tarpaulins and ropes so that the refugees can build some shelters. We have also distributed some hygiene kits, kitchen utensils. We are about also to start distributing food. So all this is urgently needed.
The head of the U.S.-based charity Refugees International and a former assistant secretary of state said he could not recall seeing so much misery in the camps. He said the stories that we're hearing, children aged 1, 5, 10 suffering burn wounds, gunshot wounds, with human beings essentially treated like animals. Is that your experience?
It's indeed a very dire situation. Our teams on the ground in Cox's Bazar have spoken with some children, and they have shared their story with our staff on the ground. And these are these kind of horrible stories of children having to flee at very short notice, their villages being burned. Some of these children, their parents were killed. Some of these children, they were shot at. So it's indeed what children on the ground in Cox's Bazar now are sharing with our staff.
Human Rights Watch said the UN Security Council and concerned countries should impose targeted sanctions, including asset freezes, travel bans, and perhaps an arms embargo on the military of Myanmar to end what it called its ethnic cleansing campaign against Rohingya Muslims. Meanwhile, the United Nations is being very clear about the situation for the Rohingya, calling it catastrophic. Neighboring Bangladesh is awash in hundreds of thousands of refugees, and tens of thousands more are trapped in areas of Myanmar's Rakhine State. VOA Steve Reddish has more on this report written by Kevin Enix.
The nearest estimates suggest there are more than 400,000 Rohingya refugees that have crossed the Myanmar border into Bangladesh. And aid officials say that right now, there is not enough food, water, or medicine to go around. Aid groups are trying to keep up with a huge number of sick children and adults who are living in makeshift refugee camps.
They are basically suffering from acute respiratory infection, helminthiasis, fever, and these kind of diseases. But we are expecting that there will be many, many diarrhea patients, but not that much till now, but maybe the number will increase.
Recent rains are making the situation worse. There is not enough food to go around, and the supplies that are available are difficult to deliver to the people who need it.
Amra day by day increase kortechi, kintu location durotter karone location er
we are increasing aid delivery day by day, but the location some have set up camps is really far on the top of that heavy rain. The Rohingya live very far from aid delivery sites. Because of this, it's problematic giving them aid at proper time.
The United Nations has airlifted in thousands of tents, but they have no floors. Inside the makeshift camps, there is little drinking water, no toilets, soap, or buckets. Steve Reddish, VOA News.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Angela Gui pleads for U.S. leaders to help her in continued campaign to free her father, Gui Minhai, who was one of five censored Hong Kong booksellers detained in China. Gui, now 52, disappeared in 2015 while on holiday in Thailand. He is being held at an undisclosed location in China. See the latest news each day online at VOA 60 and visit VOA Asia Facebook. As VOA Asia continues, from very strong statements at the United Nations last week to immigration, trade, and America First policy, to even controversial comments involving the National Football League, few people around the world have no opinion about U.S. President Donald Trump. U.S. citizens have certainly been vocal since he took office 8 months ago. And not including the past few days, President Trump has actually improved in his poll ratings in recent weeks. Trump's public approval rating has reached 40% in several surveys after hovering in the mid-30s last month following his controversial comments in the wake of violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. The question is, has Trump turned a corner or is he enjoying merely a temporary respite from the low poll ratings that have plagued him since he began his presidency? VOA National correspondent Jim Malone tells us what he's found out.
President Trump spent much of the week in New York with his first major address to the United Nations, a speech that included echoes of his presidential campaign.
As President of the United States, I will always put America first.
Trump's approval rating has improved after his decision to work with Democrats on the budget and his administration's response to recent hurricanes. How long Trump's bipartisan approach will last is hard to know, says analyst Bill Galston.
When it comes to President Trump, I've gotten out of the prediction business. For now, this is a significant shift of strategy and tactics. There's no way of knowing whether it will last.
Bipartisan cooperation does not extend to health care, where Senate Republicans like Lindsey Graham are making one final effort to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I do not want to go back to South Carolina and say that I did everything I could to repeal Obamacare and not believe it in my heart.
Trump supports the effort.
If this happens, it will be a great thing for the country.
Democrats, including former President Barack Obama, warned that millions could lose their health insurance coverage.
It is aggravating. And all of this being done without any demonstrable economic or actuarial or plain common sense rationale, it frustrates.
Trump remains determined to show his supporters that he can follow through on his campaign pledge to undo Obamacare, says historian Alan Lichtman.
I think these are people who are genuinely hurting, who have been left behind in the new economy, and who think thinks a straight-shooting, straight-talking businessman who'll stand up to the Chinese and the Mexicans could help them economically.
But even with his slight improvement in the polls, Trump's approval remains historically weak, says Gallup pollster Frank Newport.
And the bottom line is he's doing worse in his first year than any other newly elected president has done in their first year. And that would be going back to Dwight Eisenhower.
A Senate vote on the latest Republican health care plan is expected next week. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Almost all of the world's 20th busiest air routes are in East Asia, with no representatives from either the UK or the US. According to a survey by Routes Online, Hong Kong is far ahead of the rest of the world for high-intensity international air links. Make your online travel plans to visit VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, American workers are facing a paradox. Many of them can't find work, while a lot of companies say they can't find suitable candidates for job openings. VOA's George Pudich tells us experts say the problem is in the so-called skill gap, the incompatibility between available skills and job requirements.
For many decades, American workers could find decent-paying jobs in factories manufacturing all kinds of goods, on construction sites, and in processing plants. but fierce competition, especially from China, the rising cost of raw materials, as well as health insurance and generous retirement benefits impacted profit, so many companies moved their factories to countries with lower labor costs. 62-year-old Herbie Mays from Ohio is one of those who got laid off.
I've been fighting to figure out what the best thing to do and haven't came up with no answer.
There is a widespread belief that automation is killing once well-paid manual jobs.
A lot of people say the robotics, they're going to take over the human jobs, but really the robots, they're going to enhance what we're already doing.
Economists say the answer may lie in the old concept of apprenticeship, growing a skilled workforce through a combination of classes and on-the-job training. In countries like Denmark, this tradition saved many jobs from being moved overseas.
I think what we can say is we have more jobs altogether in Denmark than we had 15 years ago.
In 2016, out of 146 million open jobs in the U.S., only 500,000 were filled by active apprentices, like 37-year-old robotics apprentice A.J. Sherman. He says most Americans have no idea what an apprentice is.
When I tell someone I'm an apprentice, the first thing they ask is, do you make money? And the answer is obviously yes, we make great money.
Many American factories now offer apprenticeships, but getting the system to take root nationwide will require a substantial increase in government funding that so far the Congress hasn't brought up for debate. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
Natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey pose a threat not only to human lives, but to telecommunications systems. And when they go down, entire cities and communities are cut off from each other. But mesh networks can get people connected again and, during emergencies, be a crucial link to information. VOA's Tina Trin explains.
When Superstorm Sandy hit New York City in 2012, Lower Manhattan was left in the dark, with no electricity or connectivity.
It really all boils down to the central point of failure problem. If the central infrastructure goes down, everyone who plugs into it is also disconnected.
Unable to use the cellular networks, New Yorker Daniela Perdomo and her brother later decided to create their own. Gotenna Mesh is a mesh networking device that works where traditional networks fail.
It pairs to your phone over Bluetooth, but Bluetooth is just the connection between device and phone. That's it. And then the Gotenna device itself transmits pretty low-frequency radio waves over great distances.
Those radio waves are just enough to carry text messages and GPS information. And in emergency situations like Houston's Hurricane Harvey, that can be the difference between life and death. Originally developed for military use, mesh networks spread connectivity over multiple nodes or connection points that communicate with each other.
Any individual Wi-Fi device doesn't reach very far, but if you can chain many of them together, then you can provide access over a wider area.
The idea is to make telecommunication systems more modular, more distributed, so that even if centralized points fail, you would still have working telecommunications in different areas.
Mesh networks can connect multiple users to the larger internet or function as a local server for emergency information and basic connectivity. Greta Byram helps communities build their own networks using everyday equipment like wireless routers and small portable computers like the Raspberry Pi.
I think it's important for thinking about the future of utilities and telecommunications because we're finding more and more that centralized systems just don't make sense.
Why can't we empower people to create their own connectivity and create, you know, more of a people-powered bottom-up network as opposed to, you know, a heavy infrastructure top-down network?
In weathering the storm, mesh networks are restoring power in more ways than one. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. There are a lot of different ways you can hear us. And of course, we always like the radio. You can hear us in the Philippines at DZUP 1602 AM at the University of the Philippines, Diliman. Thanks to everyone there who's listening today. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Aiden Utku, managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, David Byrd, and Ali Ogden on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day.